Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it is a great day for New Life.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son. He's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends. Okay, so number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham. And Dave, we're just off that marriage weekend, and we'll spend some more time talking about it tomorrow. But I wanted to just get right to the calls and just wanted to acknowledge that this is the day after. So if you went and you want to hear more stuff about it, you listen in tomorrow. We'll talk about that amazing marriage weekend. Later, we'll talk with Sherry about the upcoming Wives in the Battle workshop. We'll do that a little later on. But again, let's go right to the calls and talk with Susan from Noonan, Georgia, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
I've been married 2.5 years.
Okay.
My husband's ex-wife overdosed on medicine in February and was not expected to live. She did, but she stroked on her right side. He has 2 grown children. The caseworker at the hospital had a nursing home placement for her. She's unable to speak.
Okay. I think we get the picture, what she's going through. What's happening with you and your husband?
Okay. He has taken her in. He left me, took her in, put her in a rental house he owned, and hired some people to come in to take care of her. And won't return my calls. I don't know what to do. Okay, I've left him messages.
Is he supporting you financially?
No, I was retired. I'm 62. He's 63.
Mm.
And I had to go back to work full time.
Wow. Mm. Well, I'm so sorry.
I left some harsh messages to him. I'm going to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand why.
Sure.
Susan, does he have children?
2 grown children.
Do they?
Grown children.
Have you tried to contact him through his kids?
Yes. And they told me they don't want to get involved. It's their mother.
Oh, brother.
Okay.
So you're feeling pretty isolated and alone right now.
Very.
Yeah.
What question could we answer for you in this horrible situation?
What do I do in this situation?
Okay. Yeah.
Besides, you know, work and try to support myself, I don't know what to do.
Okay. We're going to give you some help with what to do as soon as we come back from this break. Okay. So I want you to hold on there.
Okay.
And certainly not a typical call of ours. Don't believe we've ever had this situation come up, so we'll give you some help in just a minute. We're so sorry that this has happened. You are listening or watching New Life Live, and please pray for our callers. That's one thing that you could do to help us, in addition to help support us so we can stay on the air and finance the time that we have to buy to be here. But please do that. But pray for us and pray for those folks that are calling. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll go right back here and look at this very, very tough situation. But you're listening to New Life Live, and to join us on the air, it's 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to call. We'll be back after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and we're talking with Susan, whose husband has moved in with the ex-wife who overdosed and had a stroke and now taking care of her and won't return her phone calls, which is really a sad thing that he won't even talk with you. And so we've been talking about this particular situation. Sherry, you want to start off with what you think would be the best thing for her to do?
Well, Susan, first off, I just want you to know I hear your pain, and I am so sorry that your husband is abandoning you in the moment. I think what he's doing is, here he is, was married to an addict, right? And his role was probably to be the codependent or the caretaker, the pleaser, the one that, you know, tried to smooth everything over. So here she is in a really horrible place, and he's stepping into hero mode, you know, trying to be the hero.
I understand that. I even said that in a message.
Yeah. And in the wake of that, you've got body parts over here saying, I am your wife. You know,
right.
Why are you leaving me? I have pain that I'm having to contend with now because you have just left me. So, go ahead.
He said, you know, he professes to be a Christian, and I married him because I thought he was a devout Christian, and I was Christian, but I'm confused.
Yeah,
about the situation.
I'm going to kind of hold on to the fact that this man is a man of faith. He's gotten his wires crossed. Meaning his codependency, it's a bad behavior, it's a pleaser. His wires are crossed, and he is going towards the woman that's wounded the most, and right now he's picking her, which is painful for you. But I wouldn't write off the fact that he is a man of God. I just think his wires are crossed, and he needs to look at this, because this is behavior that's going to cause a wound in your marriage, right?
Yes.
And so I guess there's a part of me that just wants you to know that the Lord sees you and that you are not alone. I just opened up my Bible to Isaiah 43, verse 4, and it says, and I want you to write this out. I want you to put it on your refrigerator. I want you to put it on your dash of your car. I want you to see this. It says, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, I will give men in return for you and peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. And in the midst of this battle, because there is a battle going on right now, I want you to know that your peace is in the presence of God, and that you don't have to roll over, that you can bring your pain to your husband and just say, this is not okay with me. But I want you to know that the Lord is at the helm. He has not abandoned you.
I understand that. I wrote him a letter stating those things.
Good. Mm-hmm. You're doing the right things. But it's not bringing him back.
No.
And so Dave brought up a point here that he might want you to consider.
Was the ex an issue in your marriage? Was she kind of always on the periphery there of what went on?
Was she in the periphery?
I mean, was she always kind of an issue? Creating problems?
I didn't feel that she was an issue. I knew that, I mean, he gave her a huge settlement when they were divorced.
Oh, wow. So he's
guilt.
He's still got a lot of guilt then about the divorce, it sounds like. And that's a tough thing to fight, and Susan. So you just need to really do as Sherry was saying. Just know that the Lord is with you and move on with your life. And who knows where you'll be emotionally when he comes back. But I wouldn't throw any darts at him.
You think he'll come back? I don't know.
I don't know either.
How does a man come back when he won't even answer my call?
Honey, but that's today, right? And I'm not making light of it. It is hurting you every day. We're not making light of it. You need to keep offering him your pain. But the last chapter has not been written yet.
And
he's making bad decisions right now.
No matter what you decide to do, you need to have support for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the support you need, you ended up with a man that really wasn't consistent or congruent.
Wasn't really there.
Yeah.
Connected fully. So
one of the things that I'd do is I'd go to my pastor and I'd say, I need to get a little more involved in church. What do you have for women where I could connect with more women? You need your church right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you go regularly?
I do, but I've had to take a job traveling, and so I don't have a church home.
Well,
I go to church wherever it is that they send me. I'm a travel nurse.
Yeah, you need a church home that you can plug into, even though you're traveling.
It's very hard to, being here 13 weeks, there 13 weeks,
Yeah. Well, God bless you. You've gotten that job. You needed to get it, and it's not easy, and you did it, and I commend you for that. Whatever you do, I think ask God for patience and discernment and wisdom.
Yeah.
That's really kind of the order of the day, and I'm so sorry this has happened. And, these are one of these things where people flip out, and it doesn't necessarily mean they do crazy, weird, violent, or destructive things, but they just go into an emotional mode that is
Do something weird. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
And it causes pain. It's destructive,
All right. Well, wow. We've never had a call like that before. And I sure hope. Let's pray for her. Oh, my goodness. Pray for this woman. Let's go to John from Tulsa. Listens on KCFO. He is a trucker. We love our trucker listeners and viewers. And so, John, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. It's John. Me and my wife, we divorced.
Okay.
In the process, well, the judgment already, he already made the judgment for the divorce, but I had gotten your book, How We Love, which completely changed everything, I thought. So I discovered why I did everything I did and why she did everything she did. And now I realize what a horrible mistake that I did. When I divorced her, even though she's very controlling and really put me through a lot, I feel like I'm strong enough now that I want her back, but she's very hard-hearted and she's hiding and masking all of her pain from her childhood.
Mm-hmm.
The way I did, I didn't realize it because I identified as both.
Have you told her that she's doing that?
No, I haven't. I focused on is my part. Told her I was abused and abandoned. In fact, both of our mothers abandoned us and our fathers abused us. It turned out.
Mm-hmm. So
and
sorry.
So I was a controller, but then I grew out of that. And I fell in love with her. She is a controller, and we just was attracted to each other because I wanted to please her, and she wanted to control me. So it was a natural fit for a while. But
Sounds like to me, Trucker John, you got tremendous insight into the dynamics there. But is your question How to get her back or
what? Yeah. Basically what I'm doing, I'm just going to love her and be kind and loving to her and to try and win her back that way. But I didn't know if there was some more I could do.
Well, maybe asking, sometimes, you know, it's the simple questions, right? It's maybe asking her, coming right out, being bold, and saying, you know, what would keep you from being with me? What would keep you from considering coming back to me as a life partner?
Well, right now she's dating another man, and she said she's not going to date two men at the same time. She has left the door open, though. She said she would go out and eat dinner with me every now and then, and I could still buy her flowers and stuff like that.
But there's another man in the wake right now.
So yeah, and you
makes
know what?
Things
I'm
complicated.
Not sure if there was another man to begin with that broke our marriage up. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, those are things you'd want to know before you would get back together, I think. You know, there'd have to be some honesty.
Yeah, I don't get a straight story out of her.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. You know, you're just kind of really in the exploration stage, it sounds like, as to what might take place. But there's a lot of work that would have to be done.
Oh, everybody tells me, you know, I should move on and find someone who's not, you know, crazy like she is.
Well, but now let me tell you how bad that advice is, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Because I think you need to live in what is real right now.
Right.
Or you're not ever going to fully move on, and you're not ready to find somebody else.
No, you haven't finished.
So here's the deal. You've been a part of something. It's ended in divorce, and you can't undo it.
Yes, right.
So for something to happen is one thing. To not be able to undo it is another. When somebody dies, well, of course you can't bring them back to life. But here you kind of think, oh, if I did this or that, I could bring this back. I could make it work. You just need to live there for a little while in that reality and see. I would take her to dinner and see how she responds. I wouldn't become the expert on relationships. I would become the expert on humility.
Yes, I agree.
And I would say to her things like, I was so abusive or I was so out of touch for so long, I simply don't blame you for not just rushing back in. And I just totally understand that. I just understand that it's just not going to, all those feelings aren't going to go away, especially with Bob over there. No, I wouldn't say that part. But I would really be patient. I would have contact with her, and then at some point, you know, maybe it's 6 months from now, maybe it's a year from now, if she hasn't responded, then you might say, okay, now I need to leave that hope. But don't go to somebody else yet. You need to then continue to heal and not rush into another relationship.
Well, you need to finish with this. It needs to be clear to you that it's over or that it's back on the right foundation. And a lot of people, you know, when they're saying just move on, they're saying start something. You don't have to finish this. And a lot of us, a lot of people don't finish before they start something else. And then that brings all of those things into the new relationship. And
the last caller was that way. Yeah. Were you listening, John, where he, you know, went back to
his
ex?
Yes.
Crazy-making because he didn't close the door. You know, it makes me think of Henry's new book, Necessary Endings.
Yeah.
Might be a good one for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's get that to you. Necessary Endings. Great book. And
the book that you gave me is just tremendous. My head was spinning when I read it because it just described me and our relationship.
You're talking about How We Love.
Yes.
It's a great one. It really is. All right. Well, I'm really glad that you called, and I hope something we've said is helpful, and we'll get Henry's book off to you, Necessary Endings.
Isn't it amazing, some of these resources, if we think about, you know, having them before it gets to crisis, blowout, breakup
Absolutely.
Mode, right?
That would be so much better. Yeah.
These are amazing resources.
All right, we're going to go to a break, and I want to remind everybody that this Friday is our Every Man's Battle weekend. So please, if you're interested at all, you men, if you're interested, but more than that, most of the calls come from women who say to that husband, you need to go, or you have to go. And it really makes a difference. They hate being there on the first night, and then they are so grateful to you that you forced them into it or pushed them or nudged them, whatever it is. So that's this weekend. It's not too late to come and be part of that on Friday. When we come back, we're going to talk with Sherry Denham about a brand new Life weekend called Wives in the Battle. And so you join us as we talk about Wives in the Battle right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, and to join us on the air, it's 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this very short break.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with my colleague, Dr. Dave Stoop, and good friend and co-editor of the Life Recovery Bible. Always good to be with Dave. I tell you, we've been through it.
We have.
Up and down, sideways, backwards and forward.
Go back a ways.
Yeah, we do. And Dr. Sherry Denham. And Sherry, in September, you're doing a Wives in the Battle workshop.
Yes.
And people can sign up now. What's the requirement for coming to that?
Oh, requirement is living in the craziness and painful reality of having a husband who is a sex addict.
Yeah.
That is struggling with pornography, affairs, infidelity, prostitutes. It's the whole gamut. And as women find out about that, it's devastating.
Yeah.
Turns you on your back.
Yeah.
And so we want to provide the help and resources to them so that they know how to walk through the battle with strength.
Right. And you're going to be doing the speaking.
Yes,
and there'll be counselors there from all over the country to help these women. There'll be women counselors there.
Yep, women counselors. And we're going to have some other women on a panel who are also women who have fought well and have made it through.
Right.
So it's going to be a wonderful opportunity.
Well, if you are interested, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask about the Wives in the Battle workshop with Dr. Sherry Denham. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. Pat from Los Angeles listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Pat. How could we help you today?
Hi. I wanted to talk to you about a problem I have that is quite similar to a lady that called about a month ago. I was widowed many years ago, and I met a man later that said he saw his family only once a month. He asked me to marry him and seemed like he would be a good companion. And he said he saw his family only once a month. And I feel so deceived by him because he never mentioned to me that there was severe mental illness in his family. It runs in the family. And I didn't know until later even that he has it. He suffered from depression all the time, and he was a big majority of the time he was mad or he was sad. And what happened was that eventually, and his family really was never accepting of me. He was divorced, and I think that his family never maybe, I don't know if they had a problem with him being divorced or not. But
so you got yourself into a bit of a mess there.
I really did.
Okay.
And I thought I was really getting a companion, and that's all that I needed.
So,
I was set.
All right, so what's the problem? What's the problem now? So what's the problem now?
About 15 months ago, his brother committed suicide. He was paranoid schizophrenic.
Oh, dear.
And his mother had this problem also. And so after this, and my husband was there taking care of his brother for a long, long time, I thought that our marriage would start to get back to normal somehow, but he was gone all the time. And so then his mother, he felt that he needed to be there to help take care of his mother. And his mother's like 90 years old, and I said, well, why aren't you putting her in a nice convalescent home where she can get professional care? And he said, well, my sister doesn't want to do that. Well, it was a place for his sister to go because she wasn't happily married, so she could go hang out at the mother's, and then my husband would be over there
all
the time.
So is your husband living with his mother or living with you?
No, now we're divorced.
Oh, you're divorced. Okay.
It went on every day, all day.
Okay, now I need you to get to a question. I think we've got the situation here. What is your question for us?
Okay. My question to you is, and now my husband says to me, I wish that I had my marriage when this was over with, and I tell everyone you were a good wife, but he blames me for this.
Okay, now ask me a question. Ask me a question that we could help you with, okay?
Why does he blame me when I see this as his fault?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, Pat, who cares whose fault it is? It's what is, and it ended because you weren't willing to put up with what he was doing in terms of not being there. What does he want? Does he want to get back together with you? Does he want to, you know, or what are you fighting about? You haven't given us your question yet.
Okay. No, I don't think that... I don't know why he says these things to me about wish that he still had his marriage and that if I had hung in there, he only sees his mother a few minutes a week now.
He probably says them because he misses you. He feels guilty about what he did. But give us a question so that we can answer it for you.
My question is, why couldn't he see... Why can't he see this from my side, what he did? He totally abandoned me and our marriage.
Now, we're going to do something a little different when we come back. And that's, we're not going to give you a why, but we're going to give you a couple of options of what you might do now, given that he's seeing her a few minutes a week and he left you and abandoned you and tough. But we'll give you some options that you've got now. Because you know what? We don't know why. There are a lot of things, a lot of reasons that a mom would have such a grip on a a son, that he would go over there and live with her versus his sister who could have done it, as you said. We'll be back right after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Sherry Denham. We're talking with Pat, whose husband abandoned her to go take care of mom, and they got divorced, and now he's saying a lot of nice things. What should Pat do, Sherry?
Well, Pat, let me tell you what I'm hearing and seeing. First off, I want you to know I care about your heart. I'm gonna risk here with you and bring in some truth that I think, from my perspective, I'm seeing. First off, I'm hearing a lot of pain and hurt and sadness, and it's coming out in anger. I can just hear the anger, the demand, okay? Wanting your husband who's divorced to hear you and to acknowledge the fact that he's left you. I'm aware your husband died and he left you too. So my encouragement to you would be you need to get into a good grief group and you need to start working on the pain and the sadness that you have about men leaving you. Husband and both husbands, actually. One's emotionally and one's physically. Yeah. So there's a lot of grief work to be done there to look at your own pain.
Well, and the other part that I hear, Pat, too, is you have a lot of anger at you know, because pain makes us angry. And yeah. Your ex to hear your hurt and to hear your anger. And he's not going to do it. He can't do it. Mm. So you need to eliminate him from your life and move forward, get into a grief group, get into counseling, as Sherry was suggesting, and deal with the losses that you've had.
Yeah,
but the more you try to get him to hear you, the more you stay connected with him, and that seems to satisfy something in him. He doesn't really want much of a relationship. He wants some kind of, you know, interaction. That's what he did with his mom. That's what he did with his brother. That's what he wants to do with you. As long as you can keep trying to get him to understand, he's got something going with you, and that's probably all that he can handle. So you need to move on.
Don't you think when somebody's still asking why, they're not moving on and they're not forgiving? They're They're still stuck in the middle of it when you're still asking why.
When we haven't had our needs met, I call it, we go into the demand mode, meaning we start demanding things of others. Yeah. And that is a great red flag for us to begin to look at to say, what needs have not been met and what am I not doing? What's the what? Which is great because you focused her, you know, said it's not about the why, it's about the what.
And and forgiveness is what she
forgive, she's got to do the grief work, and it sounds like she's doing the angry part, but she hasn't really had a context in which she can really feel the sadness.
We're going to send you a 1-2 punch, send you healing as a choice and forgiving the unforgivable, and I think that those are going to help you, and I'm really glad that you called. All right, let's go to Kelly from Atlanta, Georgia. WNIV is the station there. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to New Life.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Certainly.
I was so glad to know that Sherry was on there, and you guys are so helpful, too, but I understand she has some experience with
trauma. Dave, want to go get a cup of coffee?
Yeah, I guess we can just forget this. You know.
No. You guys got to hear it, too.
Okay.
You said experience with what?
Trauma.
Okay, got it.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I am an adult survivor of childhood abuse and trauma. I grew up in a home with significant amount of domestic violence and had abuse in all areas of my life, and I have been in counseling.
Good.
I experienced the terminology that I was told is disassociation, where I saw a movie in my mind of a child that had my looks, my life, but I never had any emotion about what I experienced until now in midlife. I've had enough life experiences, and I've seen people and gone through with people and their children things that I went through as a child, and I'm beginning to go, oh, that's what that feels like. Oh, that's what I went through. And the counselors that I've had were good for what I've been through up until now, but I'm at a different place, and I really need to know what would be the next step. I've had, like, talk counseling. Everything I've ever told a counselor, they look me in the face and say, you have absolutely no emotion about any of that.
Well, you've run into that before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm doing a group right now. I have 9 trauma survivors, and we just relabeled my group this week, and one of the people shared that we are a brave women's group because they're some of the most amazing and brave women I've ever met. I was delighted to have them all meet each other because their stories are heart-wrenching, but they are really trying to find their hearts. And one common thing with women or men who've been abused is they have a hard time feeling deep emotion, crying. Some of them are just like, how do I get these tears to come out? Because we learn how to cope really early on in order to survive. So I want to bring kind of hope into your life that I think that the emotions right now, it's safe enough. Something about your life is safe enough for those emotions to start coming out, for you to start seeing things. That's good. Your environment must be good enough for you to start doing the work. But what's your specific question so that we can help you? What are you missing in the treatment you're getting right now?
Well, I got to a place with my last counselor, and he was working with my husband too, and he said, I think you're done with me, which means he felt like I was healthy enough to go on. I function fine. But that was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And now that all this is surfacing, and I know that his qualifications probably don't match with what I'm going through now, I don't know what's the best thing, because when I go into Christian counseling and they use scripture, one of the things that he said to me was, every person who's ever represented God to you has abused you. And it's very difficult for me to relate to a Christian counselor in the sense that they want to use scripture or they want to talk about God. I have no emotional connection with God. I have a mental
understanding
of the faith.
What happens when we have trauma is at the time the trauma happens, we wire in negative beliefs that are attached to that trauma. So they might look like this. They might be something like, I am unsafe, I'm unlovable, I cannot trust anyone. Okay, those are some basics that get wired in.
Right.
Okay, so we can have all the verses in the world to try to help us move through that. But what happens is we need to kind of get our mind and our heart, the emotions and our thoughts, to come together.
Yeah.
And that emotional thoughtful process, I do something that's called EMDR, It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, long word, but basically it's a specific kind of trauma treatment that helps people get into their head and their heart at the same time to challenge those negative beliefs and to move them towards, I can choose whom to trust. Instead of I'm in danger, it's I'm safe now, it's over. So I would make that specific suggestion to you. I'd find a believer in your area that is trained and certified in that, and I'd try that. That's your next step.
Well, the other part of it, too, that I hear, Kelly, is how do you bring closure to all of this? And there's a secular writer, Pat Conroy, who makes a statement in one of his books. He says, on the day that I forgave my father, my life began. And wow. There's a sense in which forgiveness gives us a new beginning. But you can't do the forgiving without getting into the emotion of the grief, which means that I protest and I'm angry at what happened and I'm saddened by what was lost because of what happened. And you've got to do that in a context with some other people. So even, you know, a grief group would be another part of the healing process. I'm not sure you need a lot of individual counseling. You've had a lot of that. The EMDR would be great because that would kind of get things integrated inside. And then to do the grieving work so that you could forgive. The goal would be to forgive the people who have hurt you in the past, because that helps you. It doesn't help them at all. It's a very selfish process that you're the beneficiary of. So those are the things I would suggest.
She also, I think, needs some, in addition to the deep stuff, she needs some emotional training, mm-hmm. where she's going through an emotional chart with all the emotions listed there. And somebody's saying, you know, okay, here's this word. Can we figure out something that happened that might have normally would have caused this, but let's look at what you felt, but to try to help her understand what these feelings are. She has no emotion here, and there needs to be an educational process in addition to the deep work.
I so believe in group, and part of that came from my own experience, but part of it is the New Life Weekends.
Yeah.
You know, when you get around a group of other people that are hurting,
right,
and they start sharing their experiences, it stirs up emotion in us.
Yeah. It wears off on you.
Oh, it's lovely.
Well, it kind of makes it safe to feel.
It makes it safe to feel. I'm watching 9 women speak into each other's hearts right now and bring their raw feelings.
Also, if you're
it's
not
lovely.
Feeling anything, you can say to the people in the group, tell me why you're crying over her.
Yes.
What are you feeling there?
Yes.
Help me understand that feeling if I have a hard time of empathizing with somebody.
Absolutely.
All right, let us send you How We Love, which I think is a great exploration of childhood trauma and the results of that. I think that'll be a blessing to you. And I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, which, of course, I think
Center for Giving
healing.
Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves.
Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. That will be 3 books coming your way.
We got
way.
A library coming to you, girl.
Anybody else interested, those books are at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We'll take a break and come right back for more of New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're going to Israel on June the 6th through the 16th, and we've got a great group of people going, but you could still join us if you wanted to. I want to play a video for you where I was over there in Israel, there in the Garden of Gethsemane with the 2,000-year-old olive trees that Jesus either stood under or walked by, one or the other. And if you notice, there are a lot of people outside the garden and the gate, and we're inside. That's the kind of treatment that we're going to get when we're there from Ravi and all the other folks that go with us. But watch this for a second. This has been an amazing day. We're the guests of the Ministry of Tourism here in Israel. We were on the Mount of Olives. We were in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was amazing, all the people walking around the garden. And there were four people. I'm traveling with Larry and Joe Sonnenberg and Joe Franklin. There were four people that were allowed inside that garden where the olive trees, 2,000 years old, they were there when Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We went through these markets that were amazing. We saw the tomb where Jesus was buried. We saw the hill where he was crucified. We saw where they prepared his body. We are so grateful to be here. Already, this has been one amazing trip. And I hope that you'll come and experience the same new life we're experiencing for our trip in June 2011. All right, you come join us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com to find out more information about that. My final caller, by the way, we're going to be out of the studio for an hour. If you're holding, call us back in an hour. We'll be back in here. So don't give up. But let's go over here to Virginia from Alva, Oklahoma. KREJ is the station. Hi there.
Hi.
How could we
Thank
help you today?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, sure.
Well, it's a very long story, but the question is what I should do about my relationship with my son and daughter-in-law.
Okay, how old are your son and daughter-in-law?
My son is 29, and I think she's 28.
Okay. And
two grandchildren.
Okay. And what's the problem?
The problem is, long story, their dad had a sexual addiction problem. He ultimately molested our daughter when she was 13. She's now 31 and a half.
Okay. How's she doing?
Very angry still.
Okay.
Very angry. He's very well off. He's very high up in the community. There was the divorce. There was the criminal trial. He pleaded no contest. He got 150 hours of community service in a foreign country. Had to put up a $20,000 trust fund for her. And that's all he got. My parents, who I call my ex-parents now, sided with him, said it was only one time. But I had absolutely kept quiet about everything that had gone on in our marriage.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, down the road now, my daughter did the little walk down the dirt road with her dad because of finagling by his parents. She forgave him and thought she was going to get the dad that she always wanted and thought that he had the same heart that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, he's remarried. Come to find out, he's been pretty much portraying her and I to everyone that, you know, I put her up to it.
Uh-huh.
And all of this kind of stuff.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
Okay, the question for you guys is, my youngest son, my oldest son, my son that I'm talking
yeah.
about,
yeah.
is started having, going to and doing things with my ex-parents,
okay.
who I have not talked to in probably 16
okay.
years.
Okay, ask me a question about that.
Okay, it infuriated my daughter and my other son, and they've had a huge fight.
Okay.
I went to my oldest son's house and daughter-in-law's house in an effort to try to start the communication back okay. up again, and we can't let this fall apart.
Virginia, I'm running out of time. You got to ask me a question.
My question is, and they recorded me.
Okay.
And then they shared this recording
okay.
with my
ex-wife. You got
to
ask a question because I've only got a minute left.
The question is, do I just leave them where they're at? They've obviously made a choice and just go on.
Do you leave them where they're at or what?
Or attempt again to try to mend mm-hmm. fences?
Well, let me ask you this. Don't you think that the father has kind of, I don't want to say molested, but he's kind of he's manipulated them to believe that he's okay, that he's innocent.
Yes.
And so
yes.
can you see them more as a victim the way you
Absolutely.
See your daughter as a victim and not give up on them rather than to say, well, I'm done with them, they took his side. You just see them as sick and vulnerable and sad and believe that one day they will come to their senses. But if there are some facts that are not known, then you need to be sure people understand those facts too. Now, let me
okay.
ask you this. If you ask them, why are you taking his side, what would they say?
Because they believe him, and they believe that Megan is just bad and angry.
Well, he pleaded no contest to molesting his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did that. He said he did that to save her.
And Dave's making sign language at me, and the question is, what kind of financial commitment has he made to them?
My son is farming the family land, and his dad owns
the farm.
Portion of that.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I wish we had more time, but you're just going to have to live with my advice there to truly give them time to discover.
Well, and I wouldn't write them off.
No, don't.
There's already been too much of that in the family.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you for calling us. I wish we had more time. What a situation. We need your help here at New Life. Would you please consider making a gift to this ministry? We'll send you the God of Second Chances if you do. We really do need your help. And we've got about 900 counselors around this country that want to help you. If you call us, we can tell you about one of those counselors, or we can tell you about the New Life Weekend and the Wives in the Battle Weekend coming up, or the Transformation Weekend. There's so many things that you could do, but please call us and ask us about it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. And don't forget, every man's battle starts this Friday. You can still get your husband in. Dave, a scripture as we close out.
Well, interesting verse in the beginning of Psalm 111. You know, we talk about connection. We've talked about that with several of the people. He says, I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people.
Mm, okay.
So a spirit of thanksgiving and gratefulness comes when we're with people of like mind spiritually. And you just can't avoid that. You can't ignore that.
Right. All right. Well, I tell you, we're not ignoring you. We love you. We thank you, especially to you that support us and allow us to be on this station every single weekday. Thank you so much. If you don't support us financially, would you pray for us? Pray for us right now. We need your prayer support. Because we've got challenges. We always do. We're a ministry that overcomes challenges. And we think those challenges are there because Satan really does not like to see people transform their lives. He loves people into pornography and sexual addiction. And he hates it when people say things to me like, my husband is an entirely different person now because of every man's battle or some other thing. So we're grateful of that. If you can help us with it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, please help us. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.